All right, does anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand and Jim will bring you one. Once you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of Titus. Titus is the third pastoral epistle, and just like 1st and 2nd Timothy, although it's referred to as a pastoral epistle, there's so many things in these letters for each and every one of us as individuals together, individually, as well as corporately as the body of Christ, to be able to use and apply into our lives in a day-to-day basis. And we think about Titus. Titus was a young pastor that was given the task of setting in order the church at Crete. And Paul advises him basically to appoint elders. We're going to see that he's supposed to appoint elders, that elders were men of proven character, spiritual character. Their homes and their businesses were to be in order for them to then oversee the work of the church, the work of the ministry. But it wasn't just the elders who were required to excel spiritually. I'm sorry. It was men and women, young and old. We're all in the body of Christ. We're called to excel spiritually in the things of God. Each person has a vital function to fulfill in the church. If they're to be living examples of the doctrine that we profess. We profess to be Christians. We profess to be followers of Christ. Therefore, the things that are in this letter, as well as all of the scriptures, are things that we should apply so that we can be those examples. We can be light. We can be salt. So often people say they don't want to go to church because it's so many hypocrites. But there's always room for one more. But you know, we're not perfect. All of us still make mistakes. We won't be perfect until we get to glory. But God's working on us. But we need to be those examples of the doctrine that we profess to be true and to be real. And so all through this letter, Paul stresses the necessary practical working out of salvation in our day-to-day living, in our daily lives. There's some practical things in these letters that we can take a hold of and show and present to the world around us what true Christianity really is. Not a religion, a relationship with Jesus. That's what's so important. So it's to be in the leaders as well as in the body of Christ overall, the whole congregation. Paul ends up telling Titus, especially in chapter 3, that good works are desirable and profitable for all believers. Now, he's not talking about, when we get to that section, works that lead to salvation. There's nothing that we can do to earn or deserve our salvation. That was all done on the cross for us. But the good works are part of that example of how the body of Christ should function together to be those examples for those that don't know Jesus yet. Just as the nation of Israel was called to be God's chosen people, so that the nations around about them that were following after the idols would see them and their example and accept the true living God. But unfortunately, the Israelites failed so many times and took on their idols instead of allowing the other nations to come to the true living God. And so the same is with us. So many times we fall short and we stop being that example. These three chapters are divided up very naturally. Chapter 1, which we will be in this morning, deals with godliness in the church. Chapter 2 deals with godliness in the home. And then chapter 3 will deal with godliness in the world overall. And so that's kind of the way that the book is divided up within these three chapters. So let's start out here in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Bondservant is doulos. That's that person that would become a slave to a master, and after 7 years, they would be allowed to go free. But if they chose to stay there, if they chose to become a bondservant, that doulos, then they would go to the doorpost and get it all put in their ear, showing that they had chosen to voluntarily serve their master for the rest of their lives. Because evidently their master treated them better than they were having life on their own as an individual. So they would choose to follow him. And here Paul says he's that bondservant. He's chosen to serve the Lord freely out of his own voluntary commitment, not trying to surrender to some kind of obedience to a law. And then he says an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so apostles showing the power and the authority that he has as one that had been sent out by Christ himself into the world and to be able to preach the gospel. And so he's sending this letter out. This first salutation, actually, this is one of his longest greetings. It's four verses. The first four verses deal with this greeting. But it seems that after Paul had been released from his first imprisonment there in Rome, most likely then he traveled to Crete, and that's where maybe as he traveled there, he probably possibly left Titus off there to establish and continue the work there on the island of Crete during these times. And then verse 1 goes on, he says, according to the faith of God's elect. According to the faith. The Greek phrase translated according to the faith is better translated for the furtherance of faith. For the furtherance. And so Paul says he was a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ to be able to further the faith of those around him, to further the gospel. You know, that's his heart. Paul saying, I just want to see God's people go further and to do better. I want to see the kingdom expanded and people to go deeper into the things of God. And we see that's the heart of Paul. It should be our heart as well. That should be our passion, is to be able to see the people around us that don't know Jesus, to be able to come to that place where we're able to share our faith with them in such a way that they can, by faith, receive Jesus. Because salvation is by grace through faith. Through faith by grace, as we come to him by faith in that, forsaking all, I trust him. And so Paul saying this, his heart was to further the gospel, to further the kingdom. Then he goes on in verse 1, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. So the King James Version reads, truth which is after godliness. But the idea here is really adding to faith. And so it should say basically truth which produces godliness. It's the truth of the Word of God that brings us repentance. It's the truth of the Word of God when we read it and we see God's love, when we see God's forgiveness, when we see His grace and His mercy in our lives, and that causes us to repent and turn to Him and want to live a more godly life. Because we start to experience that when we do, when we're obedient to his truth, then our lives are so much more blessed. There's such a better blessing to do it God's way than our way, because our way gets messed up every time. And so the truth of the Word of God. See, the world is looking for truth these days, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is